Dear Heavenly Father, the great God of heaven, we thank you for being God, a just God, a merciful God, a loving God. And we are thankful for this privilege you have given us this evening, Lord, to be able to hear the bread of life broken unto us by Brother Levins. We pray, Lord, that listening to the message you will proclaim, that our hearts are open to receive the seed, receive the word that will be implanted inside this evening. We pray, Lord, that the word resonate with us in such a way, Lord, that we can make these things applicable. But more so, Lord, we pray that we can obey and understand your good and perfect will and to understand your love for us, your patience with us, Lord. Lord, we know that your desire is not for any person to be lost, but that all men come to repentance and to the obedience of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that we humble ourselves to understand this, Lord, and to do those things that are pleasing and honorable in thy sight, Lord. We pray that as we count the cost, we do those things that are necessary to follow you and only you. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. We appreciate you so very much for working with me, and we're so grateful tonight to have so many people on the call. The call is lighting up right now. Many are calling in still. We're so thankful to have each and every person on the call. And we're very grateful to have those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are a very honored guest of the audience, and we appreciate you allowing us to come into your home, the comfort of your home, for 30 minutes tonight. We'll bring a sound preacher. That's our commitment, that we'll bring a sound preacher, and one would come and speak from the book called the Bible. In the Church of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right in every word of the Bible. We ask you to open your Bible now. Take your Bible, open it up, follow along with our speaker tonight. Take notes of the things. Pay attention. People are dying every day. But it was Jesus who said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. This is about salvation, saving of your soul. Tonight, Brother Frankie Lemon. Brother Frankie Lemon has been preaching a long time. He's 15 years in Oklahoma. Now he's the elder of the Mary Ellen and Harvester Church of Christ in Pampa, Texas. And we're so thankful he's accepted our invitation to speak tonight. He's going to talk about the one God. We've done the ones over the last 7 days. We've done the Ephesians 4, all the ones. And we're closing out tonight with the one God. Brother Lemon, well, what said the scripture about the one God? Can you tell us about that?
Yes, we can. We are very appreciative of this invitation that has been afforded us by Brother Tommy Brooks and his co-host, Brother Anthony Flounders. We pray to God that those who are listening have gotten their Bibles available or their mobile app to where they can follow along and see whether the things that are being said are according to the Scriptures. Time is a high commodity and very precious to us this evening. And so without any further introduction, we want to begin our journey into the Word of God from the subject heading, The One God, taken from Ephesians chapter 4 and verses number 6. We want to begin reading in a couple of verses preceding verse number 6. We want to back up to verse number 4 and just put that in as a thought, as a source of consideration. The Bible reads from Ephesians chapter 4. In verses number 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord and one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This afternoon, we want to invite you to take a journey with me through the Word of God and to examine the truths concerning the one God, as Paul mentioned in his letter to the church at Ephesus. Paul is now a prisoner, and now he's incarcerated in a Roman house. But Paul may be restricted, but the Word of God has never been restricted. And as he thinks about his family in Ephesus, he begins to pen these words, moved by the Holy Spirit. Paul's whole purpose of living was to live for Christ. to be the person that he would have him to be. And in doing so, as Paul went about his missionary work, had established a church in Ephesus. And when you get to chapter 4, Paul begins to introduce the seven unities that are documented in this particular text. And for tonight, we want to highlight the seventh of the seven unities, being the one God, who is Father of all, and who is above all, and through all, and in you all. This is very, very critical because the primary foundation is the one God. And the unity that exists between the God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit is evident throughout this complete text of reading. And this complete epistle, when you go back to chapter 1 and begin to do your investigation. But tonight we want to highlight this particular passage, this particular verse and phrase, the one God. Our discussion for this evening, the one God, as we began our journey into the Word of God by way of our assigned subject. But I want to invite your attention as we begin our journey to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. Where the Spirit of God, as he begins to use the hand of Moses to pen these words, and God has commanded him to communicate to God's people, the nation of Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4, we hear the Bible saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." If you'll notice that Moses declared that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God," not like the God that you were accustomed to when you were in bondage in Egypt, where there were multiple gods that they worshipped, and for 400 years you were enslaved there, held captive by these individuals. But that was your land, that was your place of dwelling. But now God has heard the cries of his people, and God has commissioned Moses to declare unto his people, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God," not the God of the land, and not the God made by man, the hands of men, but the true and the living God, the one God that is and still exists and still reigns in heaven. He is one. That's the God that we want to present to you this afternoon. For those who may be searching for a relationship with God, desirous to have a relationship with God, God desires to have that relationship with you. But in order for that to come about, there are some things that an individual must begin to do. First of all, an awareness that God is real. I know that in our society, some would debate if God exists. But I just came tonight to share with you from the Word of God that God is and God will always be. And we serve a true God, a living God, and a God of love and mercy and forgiveness and redemption as we begin our journey, the one God. Now turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40 and notice verses number 28 to verse number 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verses number 28 to verse number 40. The Bible reads and declares, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faint nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's the word of the Lord. But if you notice in the introduction, as the prophet Isaiah began to talk to God's people, proclaiming the impending future of their existence because they themselves had doubt about the true and living God, because every once in a while you read in the Old Testament where God's people would not hearken to the word of God. So Isaiah was able to use a rhetorical frame of thought and say, have you not heard? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Isaiah knew that God's people were very much aware of his existence, because at this particular point in time in their history, they'd already been taught concerning the mighty power that God had exhibited in delivering them out of the land of bondage. They were very much aware of what he did to Pharaoh and his mighty army. They were very much aware that out of all the gods that existed among the nation of the Egyptians, that the only two were living God, he reigned triumphant over all of them. Therefore, Isaiah was able to ask the question, have you not known? Because he knew how they were raised. God had commissioned the prophet Moses to write a song. And when you read about the song, you hear the account of what God did, but you also, in that song that God told Moses to write to cause the nation of Israel to remember their past behavior so that they would not repeat it again. It accounted how they became stiff-necked, how they became rebellious against God in this particular song. So he was able to ask them at this point in time, have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faint nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. And but for those who are weak, those who at this point in time, even in the 21st century, this particular text can very easily be applied to us, because there are those who feel as if they're not a part of society. They feel ostracized. They feel like they're outcast and that they have no strength. They have no association. They wonder if God even recognized them. But I came by to tell you this afternoon that God knows who you are. And God has a wonderful plan of redemption for you and a purpose for your life. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increased his strength. Even the youth, the prophet declares, shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Along with this particular passage, I want you to hear what this prophet Isaiah declares in a continuing thought process in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 18. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 18. The Bible declares, but thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who framed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. That's the word of the prophet Isaiah to God's people, to ensure them, to remind them who they are serving. Because God still exists even in the 21st century, and he's very much concerned with our well-being, with your well-being, and your life, and what you're doing with your life, because he is the one who is the source of your being. So when you read a passage such as two that we've introduced to you this morning, this afternoon, what images come to mind? When you think about the nation of Israel, there was a period in that time when they were in Egyptian bondage, and the time of their deliverance was at hand. Therefore, God commissioned this man, this prophet, this servant of God, to go back down to Egypt where he had fled for over 40 years. Go back down to Egypt and bring my people out by a mighty hand. So turn your Bibles, if you would. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 3. And we want to highlight verses number 13 and 14 in reading. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 13, the Bible says, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers hath sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Verse number 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. When people ask, how is it that you're dealing with these trying times in this present age? How is it that you're able to stand up with the uncertainties that are around you? We as children of God and those who are developing their relationship with God ought to be able to say that the I am, the God of all heaven, is sustaining me. He has made me a promise, and I believe in my God because he is very much in tune with my well-being, and therefore he will never leave me nor forsake me. So God tells Moses, you tell them that I am have sent you. The name that denotes what he is in himself. I am that I am. This explains his name Jehovah and signifies, first of all, that he is just existence. He has been, he has his being of himself and has no dependency upon any other. The greatest of men that we may know in our society and the best of men in the world must say, by the grace of God, I am that I am. But God says absolutely without hesitation. And it is more than any creature, man or angel, could ever say, I am that I am. Being self-existent, he cannot but be self-sufficient and therefore all-sufficient. And the inexhaustible fountain of being and blessings to all humanity. So when you read the book of beginnings, let us begin our journey. And let us just consider, God wants to have and restore that amazing relationship that existed in the garden. And we find that in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 3. But in Genesis chapter 1, I want to highlight and just get your mind thinking and get your ideas centered on the true and the living God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2. Where the word of God speaks as thus. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Bible says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Notice the word of God, that is his will, and the good pleasure of his will is quick and powerful. Christ is the word, the essential eternal word of God, and by him the light was produced. For in him was light, and he was the true light, the light of the world, is Paul, as John declares in John chapter 1, verse number 1 through verse number 14, the Word was in the beginning, was with God, and the Word was God. Therefore, we have absolute confidence that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are working in unity. Therefore, that light that illuminates the way to God, and that light that's in Christ Jesus, enables us to look into ourselves and find out what it is that's amiss. What it is that I must do to be saved. What it is that I must do to no longer live in darkness, but have a relationship with the Creator. The divine light which shines in sanctified souls is wrought by the power of God, the power of his word, dwelling in each and every one of us if we would allow it, and of the spirit of wisdom and revelation, opening the understanding and shattering the mist of ignorance and mistakes and giving knowledge of the glory of God in the face of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Paul declared, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6, God demanded and God orchestrated as the Apostle Paul, turn your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let us begin. Let us just highlight this verse right quick, just as a sense of note. Because God wants us to know. God wants us to understand what it is that he has given us. Ephesians chapter 4 and about verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. The Bible says, For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts and gave the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God does not want any of us to walk upon the face of the earth, to walk around in darkness. Darkness hides us from our Savior, hides us from the will of God. But God brought forth light, even in the beginning. The psalmist declared, even today, this very passage is applicable. Psalm chapter 14, verse number 1. Psalms chapter 14, verse number 1, where we can compare it with even those philosophers of our time. There are many people in the world who rail against the idea that there is a God, that he exists, and we're not a product of evolution. But God declared in Psalms 14, verse number 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, the Spirit says. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. But the Spirit of God writes yet again in Psalms 100 and verse number 3. Psalms 100 and verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and we not ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. But just like sheep, we sometimes go astray. Just like sheep, we will wander off and begin to find ourselves in difficulties. But God, as a loving father, as a dutiful shepherd, goes out and seeks out the sheep and brings it back into the fold. And that's what God is doing for us even this afternoon, calling us back into himself. Therefore, those who would declare that there is no God, the word of God, the Spirit of God said, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Notice with me, if you would, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18 through verse number 25. Romans chapter 1. Let's turn over there right quick as we move through the rest of our journey. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18, the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because, verse 21, because although they knew God, get that, because they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were dark. Verse number 22, for guessing to be wise, as some in our age do, they became fools. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-legged animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to honor their bodies, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Who has changed the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who has blessed forever, Paul writes. What discoveries there might have been concerning God, even those of that age were aware that God exists, even though they were led by their peer groups and their philosophies and their thoughts. I need you, if you would, let's continue our journey a little bit further. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And let's look at verses number 23 and reading. Acts chapter 17, verse number 23 and reading. The Bible says, "For as I was passing through and considering the object of your work, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped by man's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they may grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. But in him we live and move and have our being. And also some of your own poets have said, 'For we are all his offspring.' Therefore, there is no reason for anyone this afternoon to stand at a guilty distance from God. God has a plan of redemption for the whole of humanity. And time is hastening on. We want to just use as a note of reference. That was a case that presented itself in the book of beginnings in Genesis chapter 3. After God had made man and woman, and God had given them a prohibition not to eat of the tree that lies in the midst of the garden. But because of their intellect, because of their humanity, Adam and Eve, both knowing the law of God, but yet they both violated God's law. And you know the story. If you don't know it, it's found in Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, chapter 2 through Genesis chapter 3 and reading. We must hasten on. But in that transgression in the garden, God put forth a condemnation, a prohibition against his people. But God gave a promise also in the midst of the garden in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15. Genesis 3, verse number 15. Turn with me if you would. And then we're going to begin to wrap up and close. But I hope something has been said. Genesis chapter 3. Look at what happened. Genesis chapter 3. I want to back up and start reading verse number 14. It says, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you should go, and you should eat the dust all the days of your life.' And he put enmity between the woman and between you and the woman, and between her seed and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This particular verse is a declaration of the coming of the Messiah, the coming of Christ. The beauty of it is, though she transgressed, though she and her husband transgressed in the law, yet God's grace and mercy was yet at work. Because God loved us, he was able to forgive and then to restore them. God is always taking care of his created beings. But God wants you to have an intimate relationship with him. Therefore, turn with us to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it was from that seed of the woman that God brought forth our redeemer. It's from that seed of the woman that God enabled us to be restored to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting about verse number 17. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "The one God, only God to do such a thing, only God to love someone as we are, rebellious, unresponding, but God has a plan, and that plan is still in motion this afternoon." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new." that all things are of God, the Bible says, who has reconciled us to himself, how? Through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. So God was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So as we close this afternoon, we want you to understand that familiar verse. So many read and so many are familiar with, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved us that he gave the best of heaven. God so loved us and expressed his love toward us and given us his Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. That's the one God. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten of God. So therefore, this afternoon, if you know that you're standing at a guilty distance from God, if you feel isolated, and if you feel separated, and if you are in a place where you do not have a home to call your own, I do not want you to despair, because God, the Son of God, he did not have a bed for which to lay his head. He was a vagabond. He walked upon the earth. Every friend's homes. He understands our business. He understands our condition. Therefore, the Father sent him into the world to set an example for all of us. You're able to be restored to the Father by hearing the word, believing it, repenting of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Then you put him on in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins. May God bless you. May, if you have a question, if you want to respond to the call of the gospel, Brother Brooks and others are also ready to receive your call. May God bless you and add a blessing to the reading of the scripture. Amen. Thank you so much for your attention.
Thank you, my brother. We appreciate you so very much tonight. We're very grateful to have you on and to have an elder on and from Pampa, Texas, teaching us about the one God. We are so thankful that you accept that invitation. Thank you for that message. To our listening audience, you're on tonight. You have not been baptized for the remission of your sins. You cannot worship that one God. But Jesus said in John 4:23, "But our hour come, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship," watch it now, "the Father." Everybody wants Jesus, but forgot the Father. That the one God, he said, "But God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So God is seeking the true worshipers. Are you seeking true worship? If so, then you need to be baptized. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins and added to the one true church, the Church of Christ. That God, the Father, sent his Son, his only Son, the one Lord. He sent him, me, King of kings, Lord of lords, hung on that cross and shed his blood to purchase his church, his bride, his wife, the Church of Christ. The only one we ever talk about on this program. It's the only one in the Bible. The Bible said to save in the Church of Christ. So if you're not in the Church of Christ, you were baptized before, but you're not in the Church of Christ, you didn't get the one baptism we talked about a few days ago, last night actually. And then, so you cannot serve that one God. These are the things you need to know before you die. So what you want to do, get back with the person who put you on this call tonight. The member of the Church of Christ who invited you to hear this, they wanted you to hear this truth. We want you to obey it. You say, "Well, Brother Brooks, I got some questions for you." Well, send us an email at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make arrangements for further Bible studies. Or if you say, "I'm ready, I've been listening enough, I've heard enough," like many have done, you want to be baptized, we'll make the arrangement no matter where you are. We'll make arrangements for you to get baptized. Now, you may want to go back and listen. You say, "Well, I didn't catch everything Brother Lemon said." That's fine. Just go back to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net, go to HollandHeightsCoc.net, go to the Sermons tab, Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. All the sermons are there. They're downloadable. You can listen to them over and over. Stop it. Pause it. Listen to it again. Write the script down. Go read it for yourself. Here's one thing I'm confident in. No matter what speaker we bring on, the end result will be the same. You got to be baptized and in the Church of Christ to be saved. We speak truth and love. Yes, so we made it available to you. So go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. HollandHeightsCoc.net. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this day you've given us. One wasn't promised to us. Some lay down last night, did not wake up this morning. For those of us who are listening tonight, we got this opportunity. We pray for those who are listening, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. They have taken heed to the things that have been taught on our program. That they will receive with meekness your engrafted word, knowing it's able to save their souls. And we pray for our brothers and sisters of Christ across the nation. If they've left the truth, possibly they've left the true worship, they need to come back to what we know to be what we believe in and why we believe it in the churches of Christ. We believe what's written in the scripture for our theme says, as we're promoted, Father, for what said the scripture. And we know you gave us the scripture, and it's our intent to stand bold, flat-footed, bring on sound preachers who are not afraid. Do not fear man. We fear God. We fear you, Father. And we're going to keep your commandments as given to us by Solomon, who says, Ecclesiastes 12:13, we ought to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. The conclusion of the matter of everybody's life, Father, as you've given up through your word, the question will have to be answered. Did we fear God? Did we fear you? Did we keep your commandments? Were we baptized? Were we in the one church, the Church of Christ? Did we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Did we give as we prosper? Did we live the life? Were we faithful unto death? Did we keep the scriptures? Did we search the scriptures? Did we know your truth? Help us, Father. Pray for our program. We pray that our listening audience know that what we're speaking tonight is the love for our souls and theirs. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your son who gave his life on Calvary, who shed his blood, who went through that painful and excruciating, painful death on that cross. As the song says, it was on a hill far away that stood an old rugged cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. And on that cross, Jesus the Christ, your son, died for the sins of the world. We love you for that, and we thank you. We pray this prayer in your son, Jesus' name, amen. Tomorrow night, Jesus, Prayer for Unity. Brother Anthony Johnson from Macomb, Mississippi. Thursday night, that false doctrine of baptism in Jesus' name only. There's somebody there talking about that. Brother Runner Hayes is going to set the record straight on that one. You don't want to miss that. Then closing out, Brother Donald Warner out of San Diego, California. The gospel of your salvation. Great speakers on our call. We're excited to have all of you on the call. You know what I want y'all tonight to pray for? I'm asking every member of the church, pray for this effort. It's gone since May, and it's been so successful, and so many of you have been blessed. Pray for us. Please pray for our effort. We're gonna go ahead and go through October. I'm going to go ahead and announce it now. We're going through October. Yes, we are. If you want to donate to our cause, some have. We did not solicit. But those who have, it's been helpful to us. If you decide you want to be one of those volunteer donators, go ahead, go to our website. Go to HollandHeightsCoc.net and go to online giving, and there you can, it's options to mail it in or give online, whatever you want to do. Just make sure you tag it as Nationwide Gospel Meeting Call. And to those who have donated without us asking you, because you just love what we're doing and you want to see us continue, we're able to use those funds. We're finding that that's been useful to us. We're doing a lot of things to improve our quality and all those things. So thank you so very much. You don't have to do it. It's not necessary, especially to those who are visitors. Don't even think about it. Say, listen, no money. This is not about money. This is about saving your soul. This is to members of the Church of Christ who know what we're doing and know why. May God bless each of you tonight. Have a good night's rest. I pray that you can rest peacefully. But here's what I know. A person who has not been saved can never experience the peace that's past understanding. Don't miss it. Good night.